which we come this morning out of faith in Christ. Your word tells us to come boldly before the throne of grace. And so we come this morning to say thank you, Jesus, for the privilege and the honor of bringing our needs to you, knowing that we have an individual who understands us. The Bible says that you are touched with the feeling of our infirmities and yet with no sin. You know what it's like to be in the situations. You suffered greatly in order to equip you, as it were, to be a faithful and adequate high priest in those things that pertain to us. So we come this morning. Thank you again for your love, your grace, your mercy, your presence. I pray for anyone here that doesn't know you. Lord, open their heart. Draw them into your mighty presence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Let me just mention we have a very special event this morning. We're going to ordain an elder and two deacons. We have a rotating board of elders and deacons, so they serve for a couple of years. So I'd like to ask Dan and Greg to come up. These are the two elders that have been serving for us, and then also Jed, and then also Richard Smith. Will you come up? And also Sway, would you come up, guys? And we'll lay hands on you guys. I want to read a passage as they're doing that in 1 Timothy chapter 3. And again, we've prayed about this, so we have got recommendations from our fellowship, particularly with deacons. So we've had some guys that we've talked about regarding the elders, regarding serving as elders. And then what we've done, we've laid that out to you guys. We've shared, here's the men that we've sort of proposed to be in these positions. And if there's an issue or problem, let us know any concerns that you might have, because we want to make sure we're working as a body, as a church. So we've done that, and these are the men that are coming up. We're very grateful for the guys that are stepping down. I know the three deacons that are stepping down, we're just faithful guys. And Jim Kenny was our head deacon. We appreciate Jim. Ben Collis has served. We're just really amazed. Jose, we appreciate the faithfulness of these men serving in different areas. We actually put them over like our greeters and ushers and the golf carts and the Wednesday night service. We're very grateful for the individuals. Matthew is going to be serving as our head deacon this next year. We're grateful for that, so we appreciate this. But let me just read this passage, chapter 3 of 1 Timothy regarding elders. It says, it is a faithful saying, if a man desires the office of a bishop, or literally an overseer, he desires a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, able to teach, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not covetous, one who rules his own house well, having his children in submission with all reverence. For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, literally it means newly planted, lest being puffed up with pride, he fall under some condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report or testimony of those who are outside, lest he fall into the reproach and the snare of the devil. And then this passage is regarding the deacons. Likewise, deacons must be reverent, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy for money, holding the mystery of the faith with a pure conscience. But let these also first be tested. Let them serve as deacons, being found blameless. Likewise, their wives must be reverent and not slanderers, temperate, faithful in all things. Let deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children in their own houses well. For those who have served well as deacons obtain for themselves a good standing and great boldness in the faith, which is in Christ Jesus. So we're very grateful for you guys stepping forward. Come up, let's lay hands on you guys. We'll pray. That's good enough right there, Jed. Father, thank you again for Jed. We pray for him. We lay hands upon him. Father, we thank you for his faithfulness. And Christy, we pray for, just as he is stepping into this role, this position, that you would use him. Father, we believe that you guide and direct us as a church through the leadership that you provide. And I know my life, these elders are amazing accountability for me. And I just want to pray for Jed. Just anoint him, grace him, empower him, bless him, use him. May the things that we talk about, the things that come up, may you give him insight and wisdom regarding addressing issues or addressing things, or when I come to these men and say, here's what I'm saying, think God's saying, what do you guys think? I pray that they would hear from you, that they would not give their opinion as much as they've been before the Lord. They've heard from you. And I pray for Jed, that you would just anoint him and bless him and use him in a very powerful way. And we just lay hands upon him this morning as a means of verbally or visually rather saying that we recognize that you really have your hand on this man, and we're grateful for that. And so we just trust that you will guide and direct us as a church, and us and him individually, and me particularly, regarding the things that we decide this next year because of him being there, and as well as these other two elders. We thank you for these men. And Father, I want to pray for Richard and Sway. We just thank you again for these men. We pray as they're installed in the, on the Board of Deacons that you would use them. Father, we have seen their heart for you, their willingness to serve, their availability, their faithfulness in many areas, and observe their family. Think about just the responsibilities or how they serve. We just continue to lift them up, these men to you. Pray for them, bless them, use them. And may we as a church always remember to pray. The Bible says to pray for those who have the authority to rule over you. And I pray that we would remind ourselves constantly, not only do we pray for our government, do we pray for our local and federal, but we lift up the individuals in our fellowship that you've put in these places, because Lord, they're certainly vulnerable. We're just individuals. The Bible says that, or a phrase is, the best of men are men at best. We're just individuals doing the best we can to serve you, and we need help. We need the prayers of the saints. We need one another. We're not independent. We're not just rogues off on our own. And you've called us to be a church body, and we thank you for that. So bless these men. Bless their families. Protect them. Watch over them. And just help them to manage the responsibilities in a manner that brings glory and honor to you. In Jesus' precious name I pray. All God's people said, amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. All right. Praise the Lord. Ain't God good? Or another way to say that is, how about them dogs? Well, if you're not a Georgia fan, that may be offensive, but I apologize for that, you know. And so, you know, sometimes, you know, anyway, let's up. So we defeated those Texas Christians, right? Okay, I know. Just kidding, just kidding. Turn, if you will, to the 16th chapter, 1 Corinthians. We have finished our journey through chapter 15, 1 Corinthians. We are going to chapter 16 this morning. We're looking verses 1 through 4. We'll look at the collection for the saints that Paul brings up. Let me just mention, if you're new or visiting this morning, we very seldom talk about money. We don't take an offering up. God always provides for us. You know, we trust the Lord from the very beginning. We just, you know, where God guides, God provides. And God's always provided for us. And let me say this again, very honestly, we don't need your money. What we need is Jesus. We need more of Jesus. God will provide. So we're not looking to people. But we're looking to the Lord. At the same time, God expects us to be generous and give, and that's very important. So we come to this passage. I want to point out in these four verses we'll look at this morning, what my desire was and my heart was as I looked at this passage was to really find some principles within these four verses that are very appropriate in all of our lives. Now, in this chapter, look at chapter 16, verse 1, Paul says, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given orders to the churches of Galatia, so you must also do. On the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing as he has may prosper, that there be no collections when I come. And when I come, whoever you may approve by your letters, I will send to bear your gift to Jerusalem. But if it is fitting that I go also, they will also go with me." Very short passage. That's why I want to basically take some the principles I think that are found in this passage and talk about them. And again, I want to say this. You know, we believe that all we have belongs to the Lord. The Bible says already in our study of 1 Corinthians, what do you have that you didn't receive? And the answer to that is very logically, everything we have we receive from God. So really, the New Testament particularly teaches us that we are not owners, we're stewards. All we're doing is managing what God's given to us, whether it be our life. We have, and I've used this example a lot when I talk about this, and that is we have a child dedication. A child dedication when a parent comes up, we're having one soon. Coming to dedicate a child to the Lord. And we recognize when they do that, they're recognizing this child really is ultimately a gift from God. And we're here to raise this child as God would. This child really belongs to the Lord. We're dedicating this child to the Lord, just like everything else. So all we have belongs to the Lord. Our life belongs to the Lord. So we're not just encouraging giving a part of what we own. All we have belongs to Him. It's just a token. It's just a reminder to us that all I have belongs to the Lord. So please understand that in this passage. That's one of the principles of the scripture. We're just stewards. We're just managing what God's entrusted to us. So the point I'm trying to make is if, you know, you give 10%, whatever, and then we say the rest is mine, and that's just not true. It's not mine. It's the Lord's. It's always been the Lord's. Job said in Job, the Lord gives, the Lord takes it away. God can take away all that we have in a moment. So although we do want to be faithful and we want to manage what God's given us, we want to make sure we're doing what He wants us to do, and we put aside savings, we want to make sure we're preparing for the future, all that, God can remove that in a second. So we don't set our hearts. The Bible warns us about setting our hearts on finances or money or things like that. We don't want to do that. And so we just want to set our heart on the Lord and follow the Lord and manage whether it's our time or our gifts or our money in a manner that brings honor and glory to the Lord, recognizing that my life, your life, belongs to Him. And so in a way, when we look at these four verses, Paul is sort of changing gears here, but he's talking about this collection for the saints. They were going to send help for the church in Jerusalem, because if you read the book of Acts, you'll find that a lot of the believers there, when they got saved, they got so enthusiastic, they just sold everything they had and gave it away. I don't necessarily recommend that, okay? First of all, when you're newly saved, you need to pray and get wisdom, okay? But also in Jerusalem, because they followed the Lord, they suffered. I'm sure a lot of them lost jobs. They lost, you know, their relationships. Their families disowned them. And they suffered financially for that. But irrespective of the reason, they were not having a very, they were having a hard time financially. And so Paul's encouraging the churches around in the Roman Empire to start collecting for the saints in Jerusalem. So that's what it's all about. So even though they gave their money and all that, sold it all, there's no verses in that passage that says God told them to. They just did that. And we'll talk about that a little bit in our study this morning. But I want to just mention this again. This passage is all about, basically, it's not just the giving of our time and our energy and our gifts, but we're giving of our finances. That's what Paul's really referring to in this passage. First of all, let me just point out it's not really an option. Look in verse 1, if you will. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given orders to the churches of Galatia, so you must do also. So Paul's saying, look, this is not just a recommendation, it's an order. It's a, I'm saying this is, he's, the word order means to set in place, to set, to arrange in an orderly fashion. The orderly fashion, the right thing to do is for the churches to take a collection to help, obviously, these believers down there in Jerusalem. And so Paul uses a word here, translated, now concerning the collection for the saints, as I've given orders. It's really not an option. I've got to give. We give our time. We give our efforts. We give our, you know, we encourage people to give their gifts to the Lord. The worship team comes up and they want to use what God's given them. We're part of a body. And that's important in everything we do. And so it's really not an option to us. It's what it means to follow Jesus. Look what it says in John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he did what? He gave. Now think about it. When we talk about people that follow Jesus or become his disciples, what we mean is, I set my eyes, my heart on Jesus. I want to be like him. I want to model my life after him. He's my king. He's my God. He's my everything. He's my savior. And I'm his disciple. I want to learn from him. Jesus said, come and learn of me. Well, when you read in John chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave, I want you to think about what it's saying there. God is a giver. That's the manner of God. God's always giving us. Just think, just a minute ago, we laid hands on some men and prayed for them and installed them in these offices. And we believe that when we're praying, God's hearing us. So in effect, God's giving us of his time. God's giving us his attention. God's considering what we're doing in light of the scripture, in light of what we believe he's telling us. Or let me say it like this. Has there ever been a time in your life when you've needed God, that you've turned to him and talked to him and he's not been there? Of course he's there. He's always there. Why? He's a giver. He's always giving. Giving his time. Giving his life for us. Giving us his attention. That's who God is. And that's why, in a way, giving is not really an option. That's what it means to follow Jesus. So ultimately, we could say that a believer is here to give. We're here to give. We want to give the gospel out. We want to give to people that don't know Christ. We want to share the truth to them. We care about them. We love them. God cares about them. We want to give back to the Lord at least a token of what he's given to us. And you can't outgive God. So giving is not an option to us. It's just part of following Jesus. It's what it means to be a follower of Christ. And part of that is the consideration of, look, if I come to Christ, if I give my life to him, maybe you're not a believer and considering surrender to him, I would say to you, what that means is you're giving your life to him. You're surrendering to him, and what he's going to do in your life, he's going to direct you and guide you so that you become his hands and his feet. You're going to be giving in everything that you have. You're going to be giving the gospel. You're going to be telling people what Jesus has done for you, sharing the truth, pointing the way to Christ. You want to live your life in a way that people see Christ. That's giving. We're here to minister. We're here to give. God's here to give to us. So it's giving is not an option. Also, it's a natural response to God's grace. It's a very natural response. That's why I believe in the Acts where these people came to Christ, the natural response to salvation was just to give. They just gave. Why? God's given to me. I've got eternal life. My sins are gone. I'm going to heaven when I die. Jesus told us, fear not, little flock. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. We're heirs and joint heirs with Christ. Jesus basically said, all that I have belongs to you. And so the natural response to experiencing the grace of God, and it's amazing, but why? We didn't earn this. I didn't earn salvation. I didn't work to a point where I said, okay, God, you owe me. No, it's God's grace. God just gives eternal life. God gives us. The Bible says God gives us richly all things to enjoy. And so the natural response, the natural heart, the natural worship of a believer is to give, just to give. To give to God praise and worship and thanksgiving, and all that we have belongs to him. And that's important. It's a natural response. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, verse 8, freely you receive, freely give. Why? Because we want people to see Jesus. And I would submit to you that God's generous. I mean, here we are sitting in a building with heat and lights and sound. Why? Because God's given it to us. And a lot of times you don't think about that. And you don't think, Lord, thank you. Thank you. Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever gone home and you're looking around thinking, wow. What percentage of the world's population lives like we do? Do we ever stop and say, thank you, Lord? The natural response for the believer is just to give praise to God, to give thanks to God, and everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you, the Bible says. So you need to stop for a moment and thank you. Thank you for the car. Well, say, my car is not working right. Well, praise God, you got something, right? All things work together for good, even though it may not work very good, but you know what I mean by that. Next, I want you to notice everyone should give. Look what Paul says in verse 1. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I've given orders to the churches of Galatia, so you must do also. He's speaking to the church. You as a church. We as a church need to be a giving church. When the hurricane hit Florida last year, we were able to send $45,000 down to the thing. I know we gave it to Samaritan's Purse. They said it was like 60% of their budget for that area, and we were able to give. Why? God's blessed us. When I brought that up to the elders, they said, yes, let's just give actually 10% of our savings. Let's just give it to Florida. I'm just saying to you, we as a church, we set aside 5% of our budget every year just to put aside for special things, for special, not just necessarily individuals, but outreaches or things like, we call it evangelism budget, but it's just, we basically say 5% of our budget, not to include those that we support overseas. I'm just saying that. Why? Why do we do that? We do it because the Bible teaches us that every church, we're here to give. Here's my point. If you come to church and people are begging for you to give to them, find somewhere else to go. See my point? And there's churches that are always begging, you give to me. No, we're here to give to you. We're here to help you. We're here to serve you. We're here to minister to you as God directs us, of course. But I'm saying sometimes people get everything turned around and twisted, and all of a sudden, it's just this yoke on, God's people. That's what I'm saying. We don't need your money. We need the Lord. And we believe when you follow the Lord and you're believers and you're fed the word, the natural response is to give. But in a way, we sort of hide our giving. There's a little box back there. I hate to even say it. There's a little box like a mail slot back there. That's where people go, well, don't y'all take an offering up? Well, we believe in giving. Where do you give? There's a little mailbox in the back wall back there, so that if you want to give that way. But I'm just saying to you again, God has blessed us and God's given to us. But it gets back to everyone should give. Every church should give. Secondly, every individual should give. Look what Paul says in verse 2. On the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside. Look what he says. Stop for a moment. Now what I'm doing, I'm just looking at these four verses and giving basic principles. Giving is not an option. We are to be givers. Giving, it should be from everyone. Every church should be a giving church. We're here to minister to other people, not to be ministered to. And everyone should be an individual that gives, each individual. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16 talks about the body of Christ. And it talks about Jesus being the head, from whom, speaking of Christ, the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by what every joint supplies. That means every person that's a part of the body is giving something to the body to enable it to function. That's what the Bible says. Then it goes on to say, according to the effective working by the measure of every part does its share. So as everybody does their job, as everybody does what God's called them to, as everybody gives, as everybody says, look, I'm here to serve. Yes, I come to get fed, but I'm not here just to sit back and get fed all the time. I'm here to give. I'm here to serve. I'm here to learn the Bible and then pour it out and to serve in whatever area God's called me to do that. But I'm also certainly, within the context of our study, here to give. I'm just saying that again, that God expects that. In Ephesians chapter 4, it says the result of that is it causes the growth of the body to the edifying of itself in love. The church just grows. Think about your body. Every member, every part of your body is doing something. Every member of it. And if it's not, there's something wrong with it. Right? Wouldn't you say that? If something in your body is not functioning properly, then all of a sudden there's something wrong with your body. And we see that, you know, in our lives as we get older, things like that. Things happen to the body. But God designed the body so that every part of our body is doing something to give and help the other. The eye can't say to the foot, I don't need you. But we've already looked at that in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We can't say, I don't need the body. And there are people who do that all the time. They're not committed to fellowship. They're not committed to being a part of the body. And that's just disobedience to the word. The Bible is very clear about that. We need that. We need each other. And every individual should be giving. Ephesians chapter 4 says that. Somebody might say to me, sort of in an argument, yeah, but I give of my gifts or my talents rather than money. Well, I would submit to you also in this passage, this is referring to money. This passage, verse 1-4, Paul's talking about collecting money for giving to the poor saints down in Jerusalem. And everyone, as you know, is to set aside something to help in that. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, it says this, as each one of us has received a gift, minister the same to one another. As good stewards, notice the word steward, of the manifold grace of God. In other words, when God gives me, when God blesses me, when God provides for me, I say, this is not mine, this is God's. This is God's. Think about it. Think about your money, your budget, your whatever you have, your life. If you're truly a believer, you belong to the Lord. You belong to Christ. The Bible says you're not your own. You've been bought with the price, the blood of Jesus. And so as a believer, I belong to Christ. And so I've got to do what he wants me to do. I'm just a steward. A steward manages what belongs to somebody else. So when I have money coming in or possessions coming in or a family or whatever it may be or a ministry, that it's God's ministry, it's God's family, it's God's home, it's God's whatever. I just want to manage it the way I believe he wants me to do. And so ultimately, we're all accountable to God. We all go to God and say, Lord, what do you want? And I'm just saying regarding the principles in these four verses, God wants us to be a giving people, a generous people who has a heart to give, has a response to God's grace. Very important. He wants us to be doing that in a regular way. Everybody should give. Next, I want to point out, our giving should be consistent. Paul says, again, in verse 2, on the first day of the week, let every one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come. So Paul's talking about this sense of being regular. Giving should be consistent in my life. It's a natural part of my life. I remember, you know, when I got out of college and all of a sudden I'm getting a job and I'm thinking, man, tithing is hard, you know. I mean, it's 10%. You know, I'm thinking, how can, you know, but I've got to commit to that. God's word's very clear about that. We looked at that about 2 weeks ago on a Wednesday night, which is interesting because sometimes our Wednesday night study in the Old Testament ties in with our New Testament study. We talked about the importance of giving. But I'm saying to you again that our giving should be consistent. What does that mean? First of all, giving should never be unusual. In your life, in my, it should never be something that's odd or strange or this is weird. Giving should be a regular part of our lives. You know, God expects, the Bible says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God that gives to all men liberally and abrades not. So we need to ask wisdom. If you say to yourself, well, how can I manage? Well, just trust the Lord. We just do what God's word tells us, and we ask for wisdom. Lord, how do I do this? And God will guide. God will direct. And so, in a way, God wants our giving to be a regular occurrence, as the first day of the week. That was when the church met. Or every paycheck, you know, whatever, every 2 weeks or whatever, you know. That's what he expects. That's what God wants, a regular part of our lives. So let me ask you, is giving a regular part of your worship of God? Do you see it as worshiping God? As part of your devotion, as part of your commitment, as part of your, Lord, I belong to you, as part of your realizing. You see, what happens is when you start doing that and you start giving, you realize that the other 90% is still his too. It's not like I gave 10% and the rest is mine. No, it's all his. I'm just giving him my 10%, and it's a reminder to me that he all belongs to him. But God wants me to manage. We talked about that a little bit in our Wednesday night study, about the importance of budgeting, the importance of... The basic principle is don't ever spend as much as you make. Okay? I spend less than you make and put the rest in savings or invest it or whatever. I mean, that's just part of it. We got our building paid off. We don't owe anything on the building. Why? Well, we live, our budget for our church is less than we bring in every year. We want to say, how can we cut expenses? What can we do? We want to be lean and mean. Like the Georgia Bulldogs. No, just kidding. Just kidding. We just don't want to waste money. We think this is God's money. We don't want to be extravagant. We don't want to, but what we do, we want to do well. We want to do it right. And so we don't want to waste money. We want to think, do we really need that? Is this really something that God's saying we really need? That's why I believe personally, not only a church, but every individual should live on a budget. That's my personal conviction. We live on a budget, and then if God brings in more than that, praise God. And then we manage that. We say, all right, Lord, what do you want us to do with that? And we just trust him. So I'm just saying to you that should be a regular part. It should be a regular every week, each week. Giving should be a normal part of your worship. And also I want to point out that giving should never be delayed. Look what Paul says in our study here in this verse. On the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come. The basic principle is don't delay. I look at that as a budget. What I mean by that is the first 10% goes to the Lord, not if I got anything left over. Can I afford to give to God? Well, I would say you can't afford not to. You know, giving should never be delayed. Well, let me see how the finances work, and then I'll decide at the end. No, we just do it because God will provide. God will provide. You know, I'm telling you, God provides for us. God's always provided for us. You cannot give God. You just have to manage it and be responsible and say, Lord, this is yours. And what do you want us to do? And how do you want us to spend it? And are we wasting? Are we self-centered? Are we doing things that are extravagant or that are in the carnal or in the flesh? Not only that, but in our family, in our home, that we manage our funds and we look at it and say, all right, what's the deal here? I know a lot of the motivation in my life early in marriage was because I was concerned about providing for my family. And as a man and a husband and a one that wanted to provide for my family, my goal was to do as quick as I can to get totally out of debt. And because why? Because if something happened to me, I don't want my wife and kids to not have anything. It was a strong motivation in my life. It motivates us. Why? I'm responsible. I have a calling and a responsibility. And so you look at the scriptures, you look at what God says, and you realize, okay, let's live on a budget and let's take the rest and let's start paying off the house and let's, you know, and God blessed. And I'm saying it's just common. It's just what should be done. Anyway, I could get off on this. I said on Wednesday night, I've had such passion about this, and we don't talk about it a whole lot, especially in our fellowship, but it's just very important. That giving should be consistently giving. It should never be delayed and put off and all that. Why? Well, someone's going to get it. You know what I'm saying? I mean, something's going to happen. But let me say this to you. If you give and all of a sudden you're in a tight spot, I'm telling you, God will provide. And my point in saying that is, well, what if something happens? Well, don't you think God will provide? Doesn't the Bible says the just shall live by faith? What does that mean? Practically. Well, we live by faith. Now, that doesn't mean that God wants me to have a budget that I'm spending every dime I make every month and just trusting God. I live by faith. but I want to manage what God's given me and invest that or save that or whatever it may be, or pay my debt off. Get out of debt. You know, we had a commitment in our family when we first got married. The very month we can't pay the credit card off, we'll tear it up. We're not going to have, you know, to pay 18, 20% interest is crazy. I like saving. You know, I just like saving. So anyway, I won't get into that. I could go on, but I just challenge you to be consistent in your giving. Trust the Lord. Don't delay that giving till your budget's all laid out. And then if I got any left over, we'll put it the first part. That's what Paul's saying. I don't want collections when I come. I don't want you to delay what I'm telling you to do. Every week when you get together, as everybody's been blessed, put aside something so that when we get together and I come, there'll be no collections. Don't put it off. Just do this. As God provides, just respond back to Him in a very committed way. That's what the Bible says. Let me just give also this statement, and that is this. Giving should be proportionate. Look what he says again in our study here in this passage. He says in verse 2, on the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, as God gives. As God gives. You know, if God hadn't given me much, I can't give much, but I can give my 10%. God's not concerned with how much. God's not impressed with how much money. Jesus had a little parable one day. He was standing actually by in the temple, and he saw these people coming, these rich people coming and dumping in a lot of money. And then this poor widow comes in, and she gives one mite, which is just a few bucks. And Jesus said, you see these rich people, they have given of their abundance. In other words, they don't even know they've given. But this poor widow has given more than any of them. Why? Because she gave all that she had. Now let me ask you a logical question. Do you believe that God provided for that poor widow that gave all she had? Or did God let her go home and starve to death? Of course God provided. God blessed her. God always provides. I'm just saying that in relationship to our giving should be proportionate. And God doesn't measure how much, what the size of the check is. What he wants from you, first of all, he wants everything. Do you understand that? He doesn't want a percentage of your life. If you've given him a percentage of your life, he's not satisfied. He wants everything. He wants it all. He wants your whole heart. A double-minded man's unstable in all of his ways. And so double-minded is a person that, yeah, I want to serve the world, but I want to serve the world. Yeah, I want to give to God, but I also want to whatever, do my own thing. And God wants that whole self-centeredness to be rooted out of my heart and my life so that I'm really saying, Lord, all that I have belongs to you. It's yours. The Bible says in the 12th chapter of Romans, present your body as a living sacrifice. If God wants my body as a living sacrifice, how much more does he want my things? These are just things. And he'll guide and direct. And you learn a lot from that. Jesus gave more parables and talk about money than anything else. Why? He knows that the way that a person manages their money, it says a lot about the person. It's a lot of their spiritual indicator. It's very important. So giving should be proportionate. Storing up as he may prosper. Let me just give a word to the wealthy here. If you're very well off, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 17 through 19 gives a word to us. Command those who are rich in this present age, got a lot of cash, a lot of money, whatever, a lot of things. Or let me say this, a lot of gifts. It doesn't have to be money. But I think he's referring to that here. Rich in this present age, not to be haughty or trust in uncertain riches. Because riches are uncertain. God can blow on it, they're all gone. That's why we don't put our... Jesus said, don't store up treasures on earth where moth and rust corrupt and thieves break through and steal, but store up yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth or rust corrupt and thieves can't break through and steal. For where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. The Bible says, when riches increase, don't put your heart on them. We're not serving money, we're serving the Lord. And we're managing what God gives us. But there's this word to the wealthy who are rich in this present age, not to be haughty or trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good, that they may be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. I like that statement, storing up for themselves. Because a lot of the motive, a lot of our, you know, I know in my life, you know, saving money for, not that I'm going to retire, but just saving and putting aside money, you know what I'm saying, for a rainy day. But it says in this passage, storing up for themselves. What? It says, a foundation for the time to come. What is the time to come? It's being with Jesus. It's the spiritual things. It's being faithful to God, trusting the Lord, managing, being wise, being mature, knowing that I'm a Christian, I'm a follower of Jesus, my money belongs to Him. How would He want me to spend it? What does He want me to do with it? That's the point I'm trying to make. So giving is proportionate, and that word to the wealthy, very important, because so many of us have so much. Like I say, you look, and it's just, we're just blessed beyond. I mean, I remember the first time I ever went to my property, back in the 90s, and I had my cell phone. I bought a cell phone. And I'm standing there in my property, I'm talking to my wife, and I'm going, this is crazy. I'm sitting here in the middle of nowhere. You young people don't know that about that, but we used to have cords and stuff, you know. But I can remember thinking, this is crazy. I'm talking to my wife in the middle of nowhere. You know, and what this little computer, it could be dangerous. Please understand that. These things can be a sort of temptation. Be very careful. But my point in all that is God's blessed us so much, and we want to make sure that when God's blessing, we're just a generous people, a giving people, a people that is not self-centered and not, well, I'm stingy and greedy and I can't afford that and I can't afford to give to the Lord because after all, you know, no, God's first. God's first in our lives. And then finally, in closing, I want to point this out, is to be handled by faithful people. Look in verse 2. On the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come. And when I come, whoever you approved, literally the Greek word is tested, like you test metals, or whoever you think is fit. It says, storing up his name, prosper, that there be no collections. Verse 3, when I come, whoever you approve by your letters, I will send to bear your gift to Jerusalem. I'm going to take it down there. But if it is fitting that I go also, they'll go with me. So make sure that you have men that you can trust, that are not thieves, that are not stealers, that are not greedy or covetous, men that are tested, men that you can have, you trust the Lord. At the same time, you put checks and balances. I know whenever we get the offering, we always have two people collect the offering. Whenever we count the offering, there's two people down there. You know, I'm not involved in it. Whenever there's a deposit, there's always a record of that. We have an outside firm that looks at our, every quarter, looks at our spending to make sure there's accountability. I'm just saying that because, yes, you want faithful individuals to make sure we're managing it the way God wants. But you've also got to have checks and balances. You've got to realize, you know, as I've said earlier, the best of men are men at best. We're just people, individuals. We don't want to have any temptation in any way. So Paul is saying that. Make sure that these men are tested. There's maturity in their lives. So whenever the money comes in, it's being faithfully administered and faithfully watched over. And I know every year, at the end of the year, I sit down with the elders and I present the budget for the following year. And I say, here's what I propose to be our budget. I usually generally bring our income, next year's projected income is what we took in last year. And that's what we've done. And so we had a budget for next year, this year actually. I just presented it a month and a half ago to these men for their approval, to make sure they're okay with it. And here's where, and they ask questions about this and that. And then about every quarter, here's what the quarterly reports are about what the money is and the situation, the finances. And everybody in the staff has a budget. We're looking at the budgets, making sure we're doing the best we can to stay online. They're not laws, but they're general principles and rules that help us stay within the context of what we believe God's saying to us. That's what a budget does. It's not a legalistic yoke, but it helps you manage your funds and realize, okay, I just need to be careful and watch it and manage it. Not, what have I got in the bank? Let's go spend it on something. It's important that we manage it the way God wants. I would ask for prayer for the church. The Lord's blessed us. The Lord is blessing us. And we're putting away money every month and every year. And so, all right, Lord, what do you want with this? Our church is growing. So whenever we do anything, we don't want to have to borrow money to expand. We just want to be able to pay cash for it. The money it saves on interest is amazing. You know, don't, you know, anyway. And then finally, if you'll look in 1 Timothy chapter 2 chapter 3 verses 2 and 3. We read that earlier about bishops or elders. A bishop then must be blameless. And then it says, not greedy for money, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not covetous. What you don't want is someone handling the money that's a greedy, stingy, covetous, let's go blow it. No, that's not right. It's not our money. It's the Lord's money. Incidentally, any questions that anyone has regarding our funds, you're welcome to bring that to me, email the church, whatever. I'll do best I can to let you know what's going on. And I would encourage you to think about that. I mean, it's important. I think our budget this next year, our income this year is approximately $700,000. Our budget that we have, that we set for this next year is a little less, I think, right at $400,000. So at the end of the year, this year, we should have about $300,000 additional that we put in our savings. Why? Well, we don't have any debt. We don't have anything in the building. Our goal is to get out of debt, so we won't have to be yoked to that. Owe no man anything, the Bible says, but to love one another. And I want to challenge you as an individual, get out of debt, stay out of debt, pay things off, make it a plan, live on a budget. You know, there's people that will be willing to help you do that and look at that and say, look, here's how you can do that, and God will bless. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you this morning as we look at this passage regarding these basic things in the passage that are brought out in the passage that are important. We want to be men and women who see our lives and all that we have, not only the money, the material possessions, but our gifts, our abilities, our life, as really ultimately belonging to you. As Paul's already written to the church of Corinth, what do you have that you didn't receive? Lord, I think about the way we're made, or even our, you know, we didn't choose our family. We didn't choose where we were born. We didn't choose a lot of things, and yet you've blessed us in so many ways. And I pray in the same way we would recognize that all that we have, whether it's our intelligence, our abilities, our height, our weight, whether we're male or female, all these things, you are the one that did this. And help us to realize that we look to you not only as a creator, but you, we worship you, we serve you, we belong to you, we have been redeemed. Or you've paid for us by the blood of Christ. We've been purchased. We don't belong to ourselves. We belong to you. We belong to the Lord. That's what it means to be a Christian. I've given my life, my soul, my eternity into the hands of God. And I pray that we would look at our funds, our money, particularly in this passage, as really ultimately, Lord, this is your money. And I pray you'd help me to manage it in a manner that glorifies and reflects what would Jesus do with this? How would he manage that money? And ultimately be obedient, as the word tells us, be obedient to the leading and guiding of the Holy Spirit. Help us as a church. Lord, we just want to follow Jesus. We just want to do what you want us to do. We just want to be obedient to you. We just want to submit to you, and we want to pray about every single thing that we do and get counsel so that we're not walking in independence. We want to seek godly counsel, or to really realize we're all, in a way, under authority. We all should have accountability in our lives, and ultimately we're accountable to you. Because one day we'll stand before you and give an account of what did you do with what I gave to you, what I entrusted into your hands. I'm reminded of the unfaithful steward who wasted his Lord's substance, and how that steward was brought in to give an account. One day we'll be brought in to the King of Kings. And you've given us talents and gifts and abilities and time. You've given us finances and money, material things. You've given us families. You've given us so much. And we just want to recognize that we are here to manage these things in a manner that brings glory and honor to you. And to say, Father, what do you want me to do? Because we just want to do what you want us to do in a way that we believe. And again, I understand there's different opinions about things, about what every individual does. But ultimately, each individual will stand before God and give an account. And so that's important. But help us to realize we will give an account of our lives to you, of everything. How we share the gospel, how we've let our light shine, whether we've been salty or not, whether we've built upon the foundation of Christ, wood, hay, and stubble, which will all be burned up, or whether we've built upon the foundation of Jesus, gold, and silver and precious stones, and the fire is going to purify it. We want to be able to stand before you and say, Lord, to the best of our ability, we did what we believed you wanted us to do. And certainly we've learned. It's a growing thing. We're learning. We're all learning. Certainly we've wasted things. We've done things that we thought, man, I shouldn't have done that. We look back on our lives and think, man, if only. But I pray that at this moment, right now, we would commit ourselves into your mighty hands and realize as a church, you want us to be a giving church. As individuals, you want us to be giving people. You want us to give faithfully. You want us to give proportionally. You want us to give regularly. You want us to give cheerfully. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians, God loves a cheerful giver. Because we love to give. It's part of our nature as Christians, the new nature. And we thank you for it. Because